She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And remember that tagline, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And trust me when I say you are going to be given a lot of great things to think about on this show today. And when you're a drama queen like I am, it's very hard to sound dramatic, but I'm going to do my best because if ever there was a time in the world that we need to have a show like this and shout out good news, it would be today. So let me tell you who the guest is, and let me thank our wonderful sponsor. This show was made possible today to the generous support of the Fairfax Companies, true leaders in the business of sustainability, and I never pass up a chance to thank them because without them, I'm not sure where Mrs. Green would be. Lost in translation somewhere, I think. But anyway, please join me in welcoming Ari Nessel. He's founder and board member of the Pollination Project, seeding projects that change the world. They seek to unleash the goodness in every person. I mean, press pause on your brain and think about that for a minute. Unleash the goodness in every person. Through a daily generosity practice, they make seed grants 365 days a year to individual social change agents who seek to spread compassion in their communities and in the world to benefit all of us. I'm very excited to share anything I can about this incredible organization. And Ari, you are busy funding grants every day, so thank you for taking the time to give us an hour of your day.
Well, I am grateful to have this opportunity to share these stories and our work. We live in a day where the stories aren't, the monologue isn't always about the greatness that's inherent in every individual and how they're expressing it. And your program allows us to focus on the real reality, in my experience, of what's going on in the world.
The good news. I mean, there's so much good news. But anyway, what I think that I'm going to maybe change the beginning of my show and have a little clip from The Sound of Music. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. But I would like to start not at the beginning of when you started the Pollination Project, but what was going on for you, and I don't know, you know, who else, that you decided, you know, the seeds were being planted in you to start a project that is indeed changing the world one person at a time. What was the pre-pollination project happening?
Well, you know, what I had been for a number of years felt, you know, I wouldn't say it's an obligation, but some a calling to using my privileges, and I've been given many privileges, to feel like, you know, I was making a contribution to the world. And one of my privileges I have is financial means. And I had been donating money for I'm an entrepreneur and I have my own business. And I've been giving money away to different organizations that I felt very connected to. However, that writing the checks, you know, at the year end or a few times a year, even when they were really big checks that took a lot of time to earn that money, it just wasn't fulfilling me. It felt like there was a moment or an hour that I felt really good, and I'd maybe get an email about what was done with the money, but I wasn't feeling really connected to, like, the fact that, you know, that what would happen if I hadn't made this contribution to my intention to practice generosity and to really feel, you know, a sense of self-love and appreciation about how I was showing up in the world and how I was contributing. And I was longing for that more. So I was thinking about how can I meet this in my own self need here while also continuing to make a difference with these resources. And so I started thinking, well, maybe I should start giving every day, you know, rather than just being bigger checks, do smaller checks, do something every day. And then as I started this inquiry with my sister-in-law, who's the co-founder of the Pollination Project with me, Stephanie Klempner, and about how we can bring more meaning to our giving. And then it became involved to how can we support, empower, and encourage others to get that feeling of meaning in their life through whatever resources and privileges they hold, so that it becomes this real synergistic experience where you can't, it's impossible to differentiate between the giver and the receiver. And that's sort of that inquiry evolved, and on came very early on Elisa Hauser, who's the executive director and who has remarkable experience in philanthropy, and the soup of the three of us sort of brought this about, and it evolved.
I love that analogy. You just started stirring up the soup. I think that's perfect. And, you know, it makes me think about sometimes I get so lost in what the guest is saying. And in this case, it's like, Gina, you better get back here, because there's a pause. But, like, I'm in Rotary International, and we have done so much, you know, to end polio and on. But I always say there's check-writing Rotaries, and then there's hand-on Rotaries, where you really want to connect with what you're doing. And writing checks is good, not bad. But connecting with the people whose lives you can impact. To me, we're in the non-check writing Rotary Club, and we have, you know, connect with the people. Let's go volunteer. Let's, you know, clean up with these kids side by side. So I really get that. Now, but there's a really a lot of thought that went into what you did. How did it go from giving every day to involving more people and then having to pick a charity every day? I mean, how long did it take from idea to launch? And what? Because it's a very complex carbohydrate in thought. You know what I mean?
You know what? It actually went pretty quickly, surprisingly.
Good. The soup got stirred up.
Things manifested a lot faster than we expected. We thought it would take a year about till we started giving daily grants. And it ended up taking about 6 months from when we really started putting forth an effort into it. So it happened with more rapidity than I would have ever expected. I think it just sort of, it just felt like an idea whose time had come.
Yep.
And when you're sort of involved in something like that, serendipity occurs. And you know you're on the right path. And from my experience, when you start noticing, you know, things coming together in ways that are sort of beyond your own capability of making happen.
And the synapses started connecting. And, you know, I would like to go into a little bit of detail, because we do have lots of listeners who will download this and listen live and care. So you decided to fund in categories. And I know the categories because I do my homework and I loved reading about it. So can we go through the categories and you give us an example? Because I like to bring it home and connect to people. So one of your categories is compassion towards all life. Can you give us an example of what kind of project would fit into that?
First of all, I'd like to believe that everything we fund falls under this is the broadest category. We put it out as a separate one, but frankly, it covers all. Compassion is really, to me, is where one sees himself in others and others in themselves.
Yes.
That's how I would define compassion. And then acts and lives in integrity with that acknowledgement. And so doing anything of service has, in some basis, compassion. And so that's my prelogue.
But I love that. I mean, that's really important, because it's kind of like the umbrella for the place from which you guys come.
Right on, for sure. the one that stands out for me, an example, because I think there's just, like I said, you know, we've given over 800 grants now.
I know. Oh my gosh.
And one that's recently we've given out was to Anita Kranj, I might be pronouncing her last name wrong, but Krasnick. And she founded something called the SAVE Movement. And the SAVE Movement is about, what they do is they bear witness, which is it's a quality that's in many spiritual traditions, is bearing witness to suffering. And what they do is they go out, they would stand outside, she's from Ontario, Canada, and they would stand outside the trucks going to the slaughterhouse. And they would bear witness to the vehicles coming in, feed them water. This was the first one was a pig slaughterhouse, and they'd be, it'd be like, you know, very hot days. They just trucked them for 24 hours or however many hours in this hot conditions, and they're stacked on top of each other, and they'd film their arrival, and they'd offer them water, And then more and more people came. They write these candle vigils where they just stand outside the slaughterhouse and light candles. And it sounds like wow, what's that going to accomplish, right? But to the act of bearing witness, there's an energetic shift that happens, not only the people who are there, but in the people that are driving to the vehicles there, and the people working in the slaughterhouse, and they start responding differently. And again, this is, you don't know what is cause and effect, but this one, within a few months, maybe 6 months, of them starting this project, that slaughterhouse closed down.
Ari, so, I know you're not going to believe me. Of course you'll believe me. I saw that woman, and I saw the clip, and I went to a showing here. They brought the authors of a book called We Animals, and they did a short film, and she was in that film. That project was in that film, and it does, you cannot look at that and not feel the importance of the connection. I can't believe of all the ones you've picked, I crossed my heart, I have seen that, and it was a hot day, and that's, we've lost connection to the animals. Don't get me started on that one, because the show is about you. So that was a good one.
right on.
Well, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Makes you think about eating bacon.
Well, and that's what I think where we, in general, the big, we lost this ability to examine our unexamined assumptions.
Yes.
So we've been sort of fed, or given a bag of goods. And what's inside the bag isn't what we were told. What is it Martin Luther King said? We've been given a check, and we went to go cash it, and it was remarked insufficient funds,
right,
is what he said.
Right.
And we've been given this American dream in so many ways, and we go to fortunate few who actually accomplish whatever this American dream is, they go to cash their check and they realize it wasn't all it came out to be. So what this is, these are the kinds of things where these kinds of movements, like the SAVE movement, is examining our unquestioned assumptions. And that's one of the things that we're trying to encourage, is people to examine, where did the food come from? How did it get in their plate? Is this in alignment with their values? If they really knew the cause and effect of what they're doing, how would they live differently?
And it's what you talked about in the beginning. It's the great disconnect. There's no connection. The food comes from here. It's all packaged, neat, and I don't need to know the rest of the story. So I'm with you there. And then do you have another, maybe I'll know, I mean, I really cannot believe this, but you actually funded a project in South Tucson that I did not discover till about 15 minutes ago, because I kept reading and reading and reading and looking at YouTube videos. But you funded a young man who I'm going to check out, I think his name was Oscar Medina, in South Tucson, a green project. And I'm like, that's like 10 minutes away. And that got me pretty excited. That was an environmental sustainability project, correct?
Sure. And so, keep in mind, we've given in our grant, so my hand isn't on all of them. But I do remember that one very much.
Yay!
And he was training former prisoners, if I recall, on how to grow their own food.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely it is.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but you remembered that one too.
And so one of the things I like about that as an example, and I love about our favorite projects, or my favorite projects, are ones that we call that cross-pollinate issues. It's so easy for people on different philanthropies to get focused on, this is my issue, and it feels very isolated from every other issue. But when you start paying attention, it is hard to find any issue that isn't heavily related to all the other areas of injustice that exist in the world, all the areas of unsustainability, all the other areas of lack of fairness. And so when you start noticing those, how will they work together, you really want to make sure that you support projects that sort of move across those boundaries.
And it's like,
it does that. You're talking
about
like the injustices that are related to our prison system, and the fact that there's people they get out, they don't have a way to make them to pull themselves up. And this is a way to help them. Growing your own food is so empowering.
And there's a lot of exciting things going on like that everywhere I look around the country. And we're going to talk a little bit later about whatever happened to the good news, except for the pollination project. I mean, there is a dearth of good news on the news. Do you have a favorite that you can think of for a community health and wellness project?
Well, it stands out to me. Community health and wellness is, again, this is cross-pollinating
right.
ideas. So we gave a grant out in Chico, California, to Jenny Lowry, from the ground up farms. So when we start thinking about health and wellness, so health and wellness is what is more basic than the food we eat, right? And this is again cross pollinating with environmental issues here, where I'm going to talk about. And what she did is she had a community agricultural garden. And she brought in the community. This is a community where 30% of the population lives under the poverty line, and there's a serious lack of food security and nutritional education. So, creating these gardens, getting all these people to volunteer, and then teaching them how the food grows, teaching them how the nutrition around during the process while they're educating people how to grow the food in these gardens, and bringing bringing their children into this. So there's a lot of education. It's not just a garden where people go grow things. We should actually really bring a strong educational component to the community. This was a huge impact on the health of these people. I mean, and she, what motivated her is that she once weighed 270 pounds, takes 15 medications, and survives like 7 heart attacks. She weighs half that now. And so she's on this mission to use community garden as a tool for health and wellness.
And you are so right about it. I call it integration of thought. These are not things that are happening in silos, because that is putting consciousness into action. And you can be darn sure that social change occurs every minute for every person that's in the gardens. It transforms neighborhoods. I mean, my friend Steve Ritz, the Green Bronx Machine, he's changing the South Bronx by putting gardens in schools and on rooftops. It's not just about planting the garden. So I love that. It's an integration of thought. And did you have one for environmental sustainability other than, I don't know, Oscar? I'm going to find him. I'm so going to find him. But in terms of a green project, that's pretty awesome and green.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, these, like I said, they cross the boundary.
Yes, they do.
So, it's like, here, I'm going to give you another one. It's like, well, is this environmental sustainability? Because I don't think most people would, think of it as it's cross boundaries. We funded there's a woman, Michelle Welsh, who was teaching English in a monastery in Nepal.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
And she was teaching to a lot of young monks there. Nepal is one of the poorest countries in the world. And they would be studying at night their texts by flashlight. They didn't have any electricity. So she wanted to create a solar project to create a secure source of light for their students. And so we funded the solar panel system, which someone would say is an environmental support so they can read at night. But that's what it started off as. And then, this was just the first domino for her efforts. She was inspired by that. The acknowledgement empowered her, and that led to more improvement projects. To them constructing, doing their first field trip and a dental health camp, a new annex for the building, and then she took on even more ambitious projects after that, and ended up raising $12,000 recently in Indiegogo. So you can, it's solar power environmental project. One could say that, but in this scenario, it was also about, some kind of economic justice. It was also about education. It crossed other areas as well.
And it's just to me, I mean, I just want to scream, pebble in the pond, pebble in the pond. Everything I looked at that you've done, and I spent way too long preparing for this show, so I have 3 pages of notes. It's like, oh gosh, we're never going to get there. But it's pebble in the pond, a ripple effect of what you're doing. And that's an example of why a $1,000 grant can make a huge difference and change somebody's life and the life of an entire community forever. So we're going to have to take a break, which always, it's like, I don't like breaks because my guests are so great. But when we come back, I'd love to talk a little bit more about the structure, how many board members do you have, and they keep individual connections, and how do you actually make the selections? I think that would be a very, very hard job. And we have so many other things that I want to cover, and you talk fast like I do, so I like that.
We'll get a lot more in that way.
We'll get a lot more in that way. So everybody, Ari Nessel, founder and board member of the Pollination Project, seeding projects that change the world, and we'll be right back, because you're going to hear more about the kinds of change that they're doing, more about their mechanism, and I wanted you to tell the story about the little girl that started a project for cats when she was 8 years old. And at 13, she said, "This changed my life forever." Everybody, please stay here with me. You won't want to miss a word. This is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine. It's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines. It gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
For almost 40 years, Bookman's Entertainment Exchange has been the place for used books, music, movies, and video games in Arizona. From the latest bestsellers to out-of-print classics, we have you covered with 3 Tucson locations. And now you can buy, sell, and trade musical instruments. Our newly expanded sections are chock-full of top-notch instruments. From beginners to seasoned musicians, we've got something for you. Open 7 days a week, shop, hang out, and enjoy our free Wi-Fi. Bookman's, good for your pocket, good for the planet.
Ready to clean out that garage? Goodwill offers you 40 convenient locations all over southern Arizona. And at every one, you'll be greeted by a uniformed Goodwill employee trained to assist you in unloading your items, prepared to offer you a receipt for your tax-deductible donation, and grateful for something you won't get anywhere else.
Thank you. Because of your donation, I have a job.
The gift of Goodwill. For a list of Goodwill donation sites, go to goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thanks for joining us. And please remember to visit our website at mrsgreensworld.com to download our free mobile app so that you can listen to great podcasts like this anytime and anywhere you want. Our shows are also available on our website and in iTunes. And please follow us on whatever your social media platform may be. We've all got a favorite. Mrs. Green has them all covered. And while you're on the Mrs. Green's World website, take a look at our membership opportunities and consider supporting our work and, in turn, free and independent radio so that I can keep bringing you awesome shows like this one. With us today is Ari Nessel. He's founder and board member of the Pollination Project, seeding projects that change the world. The Pollination Project seeks to unleash the goodness in every person and people. They give out $1,000 in seed money a day, and they are spreading it all over the world. And guess what, folks? We all benefit from it. I know my life is better because they're in it. So, Ari, let's go back to how big is the board? Because it can't be just you and the beginning members of the soup, the ingredients in the soup. How did you grow?
It started off as the board was, we're only a board of four, and it started off as the board was and a couple of the people we brought in would vote on the projects, and we'd have a number of projects, we'd have a docket, and we'd go through it. Now that we've gotten so many former grantees, what we decided along the way is we wanted to democratize the giving process, because it felt so good to be giving, to approving these grants, and not only did it feel good, but who are we to know what the best person is to get a grant in Uganda? You know, what do they need in Uganda?
Like, right.
Well, we have some ideas what the world needs, but we don't know what works in Uganda. We don't know what's a skillful idea and what's probably not going to fly. And we don't know, we can't sieve out like who's maybe telling the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and who's sort of like maybe this person isn't going to be the most righteous grantee. And so we've moved to a system where our grantees are predominantly the people who vote on giving away the grants, not us.
You're kidding.
No.
That's, oh my God, so you're really connecting.
Well, our goal, one of our goals is to support, empower, and encourage people to express the unique goodness in the world. And so part of that is for people not to be just on, you know, people get so used to that, you know, they're the person who's doing the work in the world, or I'm the person who's supporting the people doing work in the world. Like, they think they're on only one side of the equation. I'm the guy with the money or the gal with the money, and I'm giving it, or I'm the person who rolls up my sleeves and I do the work. But I think it's vital for everyone to think where possible to play both sides of that, so they can feel, you know, the goodness of each way of contributing. These are people who maybe never had been on the side of sharing financial resources and allocating them. And we found that it's really meaningful for them, in addition to the fact that they know a lot more than we do.
And one of my questions was going to be, and it's a perfect segue, is in the process for applying. I mean, I really looked at it. Do you think people, even from the beginning of that process, that the process itself helps them to evolve with their ideas and serves as kind of a learning opportunity to be very clear about their ask and how the funds will be used? It's not just about getting the money. They have to be learning really valuable things in the application process. Would you agree with that?
Well, the application is relatively brief.
Right.
And it doesn't take very long to do it, so long as you've already thought through what you were planning to do.
Yes.
So it's exactly what you said. So if you hadn't, you really put some, put some effort into, like, to, you know, answering who's affected by what I'm doing? How can I support that? What systems are working towards it already? Which ones aren't? How am I bringing something different to the table? What is unique about what I can do that isn't being done? You know, asking those kinds of questions, it spurs people, in our experience, to come up to, if they already had a project, to improve it or to go deeper with their ideas. And then we often, I'd say the majority of the times, we there's follow-up questions that we'll have. And those follow-up questions incline people to go a little deeper or to be like, oh, wow, I hadn't thought about that. We've asked people, like, well, that's a great idea, but how are you going to distribute that to other people, that media, whether that's a video you're looking to expand or you're trying to create some sort of event, how are you going to reach the people? And they hadn't thought of how to really reach the people, even though they had a great idea for what they wanted, the content they wanted to provide. So that's exactly right. And then the additional value add that sometimes we're able to offer frequently is because we have this resource of all these grantees. Oh, that's a great idea. We know we funded something just like that in a different part of the world. Let us connect you with someone who's done something similar, or let me tell you what they did.
So a big green matrix. I see the matrix being activated. And then what about the part I just liked in some of the videos that I watched? I call them the unsung heroes. You know, there's the little girl who at 8 years old decided she was going to collect things for cats, all kinds of things, toys and blankets and all kinds of things that cats in shelters don't have. And at 13, I think you funded her for $1,000. And literally, she said on the grant, I played it a couple times, well, getting this $1,000 changed my life. And what I took from it was it affirmed her walk, that what she was doing. However, there are unsung heroes in that story because she was there were a couple of clips of her loading up her mother's car. So like you said, it's the ripple effect where it's not done alone either. Is there a question there, Mrs. Green? But you know what I mean.
Well, the question and statement is saying that none of us do what we do alone. And just, you know, I'm supported in my role at the Pollination Project by my parents, by my wife, by my children, by the people around, by my friends. Like, you know, when coming up with this idea, it was a constant iteration of ideas that came from discussing with friends and other people in different forms of justice and rights issues, and asking how can we support what you do and what ideas would you have, and telling here's what we're working on, and then giving ways for, you know, some suggestions for how we can profess what we're doing. You know, it's the people who gave me my parents helped pay for my education that empowered me to be able to take on some things that I'm doing. You know, it's like Harley you're talking about, like, you know, she's got other volunteers in her network. There's people. Who are the people that are giving her blankets,
right,
and other toys to give to the cats and dogs in the shelters there?
And she's 13.
Yeah, so she's not doing alone. Going alone. If you look, I would say probably 85 to 90% of our grantees have some sort of volunteer network associated with them. That's actually really important to us. Is that we're not we're not supporting a single person. We're supporting some sort of incipient community or the potential for a community, so that we're really supporting a volunteer labor force. You know, people who just want to be of service.
And grassroots is which is where, in my opinion, real change occurs. What do you say when someone says, and people have said this to me, and they've probably said it to you, well, you know, I don't have a lot of money. What good would my $10 donation do? It won't make a difference. What do you say to people that say that? Is there any amount in your mind that's too small to give?
All right, I'm going to answer that a little longer.
So I love it.
I'm going to refer to one of my favorite stories, which is the Starfish Thrower. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but I'm going to repeat it to your audience for those who don't know.
Do.
The story is this famous French author is walking down to the beach at sunrise, and in the distance he sees the silhouette of someone seemingly dancing on the beach. As he walks closer, he sees it's a little girl, and she's been dancing. She's picking up starfish from the sand and throwing them into the water with great glee. And he walks up to the little girl and says, "Little girl, what are you doing?" She says, "Well, you see these starfish? They've all been soon it'll be warm and hot as the sun comes up, and they will die if they're still on the beach. So I'm throwing them back in the water so they can live." And he looks up and down the line of sand, and he says, "There must be millions of, tens of thousands of these starfish. You can't possibly think you'll make a difference." She joyfully reaches down, picks up a starfish, throws it in the water. She says, "It made a difference to this one."
I love it. I just love it. You can never hear that story too much about making a difference. And was that, you had a really successful campaign, and I don't know if it's ongoing, but your whole concept that I'd like to emphasize a little bit more is it's just permeates your every word about give with us. So you have I love to say hashtag give with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that's a great concept. So that was at the end of 2014. Is that another effort to connect the people with their giving, with the grantees, with a greater good?
It's really the evolution of how we're wanting to grow. So that I think about my experience of giving, how I wanted more fulfillment in my giving, and we want to make it so that, like as I said earlier, that it's hard to tell who's the giver and who's the receiver. So
right.
The person who's giving feels like they've been given a gift, and so we're looking for support all the time. We can give second grants to existing grantees. We can give out more grants as the more support we get. So. Indeed, if anyone in here feels inclined to support us, and therefore I believe wants to support themselves, our website is thepollinationproject.org, and you can go on there and you can sign up for being a daily giver, something we encourage, and we have where that's where you're committing to giving a dollar a day, and it's a way so that you're feeling every day you're making some contribution, and we give to anyone who asks for it. We give out these bottles. There's a project we supported in India called Earn to Learn. And Earn to Learn is these young people in a slum in India who, to pay for their education, they create art and they sell it. And what they did, they've collected these plastic bottles that would normally thrown away, and they decorate them, put a hole in them for people to put money in. And we give those out to our daily givers for them to put money in each day. As a reminder of where their resources are going towards, who created the bottle for them to put the money into, and then for them to send the bottle back to us or send the money from the bottle back to us so we can support more grantees like them. And we try to supply stories to our daily givers and to our donors. And also, in December, we sent all this gift bags to anyone. People hardly give anything, didn't give much at all, of like letters we've gotten from our grantees or things they made, so they can feel like what they supported and they feel connected to that.
And I said, I do at the very top of the end of the show, I will do a call to action. And I usually ask the guests, and I was writing your calls to action. So that's one of them, is to go on your website. And really don't think any donation is too small. That is for sure. I think that's just an unbelievable core value that can change in everyone. And the other one is to really understand, like the project you just made. I call that the green trifecta, because plastic water bottles are really filling up Mother Earth rather rapidly, and we're using them at, you know, scary rates. So you're taking them out of the landfills, turning them into art, and then having them be a touchstone as a reminder to give back. I wish I had thought of that one, Ari. That's a really good one. Thanks for sharing that. Do you have, I wanted to ask this, and I would be so mad at myself if I didn't. When you first got started, how did you pick the first projects, and then how did the word spread? That's a really important question for me.
I want
to know the answer to that.
So our first project wasn't really a project, and it didn't work out so well, quite frankly. What we did is a friend of mine had started a fantastic camp. It's called Yay Camp, which stands for Youth Empowered Action. And it's a camp for people who are interested in being the change they wish to see in the world, in some way social, it's like for training people to be social justice entrepreneurs, if you will, you know, to be the future Martin Luther King Jr.'s of the world. And so we thought, let's give out grants, $100 grants to each of them first and see what they do with the money, and offer it to them. And, you know, all they have to do is fill out the application. Very few people actually fill it out in that case, though and we learned from it what was working, what wasn't working. And then as we went along further, we started the $1,000. We wanted to do a bigger number, and open up to maybe maybe a little more mature audience. And then our first grantee, gosh, I'm forgetting her name right now, but she, this was, you guys, we didn't get into, you wanted me to give you a sample from all different aspects of the groups we give money, we've supported, and one was arts and culture. This one was, it was about STDs for teenagers. And this was this girl did a thespian group where they created plays about things related to the consequences of unprotected sex for teenagers at her high school. and then they would share, you know, condoms in the school afterwards.
Oh,
it was entertaining, and it was just one of those things that, you know, that if we didn't fund it, this kind of thing was not going to get funded by any other organization,
right,
which we love. And she got this acting group together to create these plays and to share this word, because there is a high rate in her school of pregnant of teenage mothers and people who are getting sick, STDs from unprotected sex. So that was our first project. I mean, talk about
rocks
off the wall, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Celebrate good times. Come on. I mean, that is really unbelievable. And I think we did. You know, if I skipped over them, I mean, to go back and recap, compassion towards all life, which you said really permeates every one of the choices, environmental sustainability, justice in all of its forms, community health and wellness, which you talked about, the Chico, California farms, putting consciousness into action, which I think all of them are also, and social change-oriented arts and culture, which pretty much covers almost any good thing you can think of. If you ask me, we have 2 minutes till break, and I want you to think about this. Did you ever have a favorite project that you would be willing to share? That's one of the questions I'm going to ask you. And another one is, did some of the projects, like an unexpected outcome where you thought you were planting one tiny little seed and it ended up becoming the oak tree? Because I love that idea, because you never know. That's what I love about the Pollination Project, is that you never know which seed you plant is going to help make massive transformation. I mean, to me, if you change one person's life, you've changed the world. So it's not, I'm not looking for the grandiose impact, but really about, you planted one seed, $1,000, and this is what it's become. So that'll give you something to think about on the break. And then I have the heavy-duty questions I want to ask about where is the good news. So everybody, stay here with me. Ari Nessel, founder and board member, passionate board member of the Pollination Project, seeding projects that change the world. They give out $1,000 a day to projects that are making the entire world better for you and me. I hope everybody will stay here with me. I know you will, and we will be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at mrsgreensworld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at mrsgreensworld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@mrsgreensworld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World, next.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI clean diesel technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative, our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI clean diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
Shop the Habit Store first for your home improvement needs, appliances, and furnishings. We have daily specials, weekly red tag sales, and occasional store-wide clearance events. Join our loyalty program and keep up with the special offers through Facebook, Twitter, and our monthly newsletter. Your good deals means Habitat Tucson can build and renovate more homes for hardworking people. The Habit Store hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road, just east of I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And are we not getting some great things to think about in the bad news world in which we live? With us today is Ari Nessel. He's the founder and board member of the Pollination Project, seeding projects that change the world every single day. The project seeks to unleash the goodness in every person. Through a daily generosity practice, they make seed grants every single day of the year, 365 days a year, to individual social change agents who seek to spread compassion in their communities and in the world for the benefit of all. And I will never get tired of reading that, because it's like, are you listening? Because this is really the good news that we need to hear. So Ari, thank you again for taking an hour out of your good giving time and making this such a great show. Do you have a favorite project?
You know what? I have a lot of favorite projects. But sometimes there's a project you just close your eyes and just makes you smile.
Right.
And this is the one, like, I just, when I, like, they just, every time I read it when we were reading through applications, this one, I just sort of like, we have to fund this one. It just brings such a smile to my eyes. So, Brianna Schuler and Alfred Okello live in northern Uganda. And Alfred is blind, and he lives in this community of people that have all different physical disabilities. There's been a lot of war there, and of course, you know, people are born with physical disabilities as well, and people injure themselves. And so people who can't see, can't hear, can't walk, missing limbs, some kind of dire situation. And a lot of these people here, especially in Uganda, they just don't have resources to support those with physical differences. And so one of the big challenges they have in the community is not having a way to get around. Bikes are an indispensable way to get around, and yet some of them don't have, even if they had the bikes, a lot of people can't see, so they can't direct them, or they can't physically ride them. And so what he was doing, he was building tandem bikes. And what he would do, we help support him to build these bikes where the person who is physically able could be biking, and the person who was often blind, and the person in the back who wasn't physically able to bike it could direct them where to go.
Oh my gosh.
So these people who've never had any set ability to get around on their own because of their physical challenges, and because that gave them, that lacked their, any independence or dignity they had around, that would have been given to them by having this access to mobilize themselves in different areas, to freedom of movement. We just picture this in your head, these guys for the first time, or gals, like riding this bike, and one person saying, go left, go right, you know, feeling the wind touching their skin as they go along the road. And, like, this person riding a bike, like, who's never, like, had such an opportunity. Like, I just feel my heart just smiles in a way that would hard to grasp.
Oh my gosh, it's like, you know, when I first started on radio, a friend of mine was on another channel, a station, she used to ring the bell, so I'm going to do it. It's like, that's a bell ringer. That's a smile bringer. I mean, it is just, that'll make me smile for a very long time when we all can use more smiles. Okay, that's a good one. You cannot top that. Let's talk a little bit about the national media. There's a couple of heavy-duty questions that I want to ask you, and I really think from hearing you, you can take it. To me, people like me, the news that we are fed is absolutely devastating, and I'm sure millions of others. So I have pretty much, I go on what I call news blackouts because I don't have a lot of, you know, my point for hearing the bad news is awful. And the Pollination Project is all about good news, good people, selfless acts. What's your thoughts on why we don't hear more about this? I mean, you have gotten a lot of great national news coverage, but why don't we have, like, on every news show, the daily dose of good news? I mean, that's the project I'd like to start, where every single news show had the daily dose of good news. Do you think it could change the world?
I can save one starfish.
Yes.
I don't know if I could change the world, but that's where we start every day, throwing one starfish back into the sea. And I believe, you know, it's been scientifically proven, as they say, that a butterfly flapping its wings in one area of the world can cause a tornado or hurricane in another part of the world. So I fully believe that we all have the power. We have the power to change the world. We are already changing the world. And we're usually not changing it consciously. We change the world by the products we buy, by the friends we choose, by the conversations we have. We change the world by how we show up to our job each day. There's a reverberation effect to the way we act, breathe, speak. In my experience, and so I think we're all changing the world. You know, I think there's a collective change in the world that when it reaches some sort of level of synergy, there's an obviousness to it, a tangibility to it. But I think that if you pay attention more subtly, that's what we're doing all the time. We just don't do it mindfully.
I think you're right. And a perfect example for me, and this happened to me yesterday, I was in a store, and the old me, you know, this person waiting on me was absolutely crabby, did not make eye contact. And what I did was I said to her, "Hey, it's Monday, right?" And she looked up at me and she goes, "Yeah, I know, and I'm really tired." And I said, "Rough weekend?" Well, I didn't even notice it. She was pregnant and she was on her feet and standing up, and we had this great, she smiled, and that's the level at which I believe you can change the world, with just one interaction with somebody that might be a faceless person behind a register.
Well, Thich Nhat Hanh says the greatest form of activism is a smile, or the most basic form of activism is a smile.
And that, boy, yeah. That story about the people on the bikes is going to make us smile. And you bring up other points about we in the United States. You know, there really is horrible poverty, and I believe that, and I believe we can take care of our own. But you can go in stores and get a drink of water at the water fountain, or, you know, it's just a different kind of poverty than we're talking about in places like Uganda and the Sudan. I mean, there's pretty horrible things going on out there. How do people mostly find out about you? Do you know that? Has that question been answered?
Well, it's evolved, you know. For the first, you know, 6 months to a year, we really tried to get media, and we worked a lot with partner organizations,
right,
to reach out to their cadre of folks that they influence and they relate to, and we still do it that way. But right now, there's just been word of mouth that seems to have been bred, and grantees, people tell other grantees. A lot of times, people, you know, who are grantees, are just someone sees it's a friend, it's a family member, it's an acquaintance, and they see what they're doing. They're like, "Wow, look what they're doing! I can do that too." And they think, "Wow, How'd you get started? Oh, they tell them I got some money from the Pine Ridge Project, or I got started this way, but they Pine Ridge Project gave me the, my furthered me along my path, and then they start thinking about what can I do in the world. They start writing it down. And they apply with us. So, this is what we're always hoping to see is that every person who takes this on, this practice of service, that they're now influencing the people in their project. They're influencing other people who aren't in their project to ask that same question that they ask themselves. How do I want to show up in the world? What is my unique expression of goodness? And what's stopping me right now from doing it?
Right. And someone,
and if it's money, I know who can give it to us.
Right. Right. And Michelle Welch, she's a perfect example. I'd love to know how she heard of you. She's teaching English in Nepal, and her students are in the dark. So that's, it's not just about someone on the internet. I mean, it's really spreading like crazy. And then the one in Uganda, I just watched a movie on the Lost Boys, the one with Reese Witherspoon, about the Lost Boys, and talk about seeding change. One person can make a difference in that. So are there any other things? We have, about 5 or 6 more minutes. What other things excite you, and where do you see this going? I mean, you dream dreams every day. what do you see in the Ari Nessel and Pollination Project crystal ball?
Well, one thing I'm really enjoying is it's more of an excitement to see where things could go,
right?
Without trying to hold tight to any place it will go,
right?
I'm sort of more hold the question of wow, where could things go? This is if we stick to this and we keep on living our values. And we support those that are doing the same. Does this have the capability of catching on like wildfire? And, I don't know where it's going to go. We don't know where it's going to go, but we're just enjoying the ride.
It's a wonderful place to be. I mean, it really is. It's practicing the presence. And I just think that that's really, really important. You dream your dreams, but what I'm doing right now really matters. And you are getting a lot of media coverage and helping create those millions of tiny shifts. I'm still going to hold out for a daily dose of good news for the Pollination Project, brought to you by, because I just think that the world is actually starving for it. I mean, I have so many friends that I've talked to recently that are not watching the news anymore because it makes you depressed. And I feel so helpless about, things that I can do about it. And then I get to be Mrs. Green and interview people like you. What about your kids? How has this impacted your life? You said your family. I don't know if you have children, but I think you said that early on. How has it impacted the people in your immediate circle of life?
Yeah. I have 2 boys, and they're young. They're 4 and 7. But right now, the comic books that we just went to an event for Martin Luther King Day, and my son wanted to get these comic books that talks about the life of John Lewis, who is sort of he's a congressman now, and he was a key player during the civil rights era with Martin Luther King, and he was one of the first leaders of the groups that did sit-ins at places that wouldn't serve people of color. And he's really interested in that process, what people did and how they treat each other. And he's just, there's definitely an inquiry of, he definitely has a strong sense for fairness. And I think it's being around this has helped cultivate that. So it also helps him to realize sort of some of our own privileges, that everyone, that people live and have all different privileges, but we have certain privileges that other people don't have. And so maybe building that inquiry for him. I think my 4-year-old, he's a little, I'm not sure if he gets it much yet. My 7-year-old remarkably gets what we're doing. And we every month we have, at our house, we have these salons with people in the area, grantees in the Bay Area, and also allies. And we'll usually have a grantee, present at the salon. We start with an hour of meditation. Then we do a vegan, whole foods, usually local, based meal. We serve everyone, and then there's a presentation with some interaction among the people there, and just being my wife and my sons being around that energy, I see sort of the way they're growing up, and who knows what it manifests, but I'm definitely seeing some of those seeds starting to ripen.
And it's so different than having a job having a mission and a big intention, they'll grow up with living with intention. And I just think that that's unleashing the goodness in every person, just finding it and unleashing it. And we all have it. You know, what I did in my past life was I worked managing large volume mental health contracts. And the same thought process that you have was what I practiced in our therapy. We'd have an identified client that was a 13-year-old boy. And I started home-based agency saying, a 13-year-old boy does not come to us as an identified client. He comes to us as part of a family. And we would start serving the family and asking them what we could do to help make their lives better. Because it's just people basically want to be good and show up as goodness. And it's that integration of thought and that whole you can't segregate it and put it in silos concept. So anyway, what's your last shout out? My last shout out that I want to give to people is to visit thepollinationproject.org. If you want a daily dose of good news, follow you on Facebook because you put something good up every single day and people like it. Show the world that you're liking it. So many people look at my page and they don't like it. And I say to them, like it. So what else would you coming from you be a call to action for people to think about that are listening to this show? Because we've got a really good growing listener base. What would your Ari Nessel's call to action be?
My call to action would be to pause before you act. Is take a pause, take a breath, close your eyes, become present to the gifts you already have, to your privileges, to your resources, to all the things you have to be grateful for, and then knowing that all that you have, the abundance in your life, what can you offer to others? And staying in the pause, allow things to come out with time, and then when the answer arises, act upon it. Don't waste that gift of that of encouragement that's coming from your mind and your heart. Take action on it, and I guarantee you will not regret it.
That is 100% guaranteed. And what I love about what you said is that, you know, I love the tagline for my show, that we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And I think in our world, we are so busy doing and going from one thing to another and being connected to devices that you saying to me that you have an hour meditation before you start is mind-blowing. So you're getting people to still their bodies and their minds for an hour so that they can be open to and away from the noise and open to what is about to happen. I mean, that blows me away. And it's very hard for me to sit for an hour. I can tell you that. I start squirming even when you said it. It's like, you know, keeping the stillness is where you begin to think. And I think that's amazing. Is there anything in your life that, you know, like influence that approach, that way of thinking, like practices that you feel comfortable sharing? Obviously,
sure.
Yoga.
So my I have a daily practice of meditation, and some people can just call that in different practices, receptive silence. You know,
right.
There's different ways to practice meditation, and so for me, it's just sort of just, you know, paying attention to my breath, scanning my body, seeing how things watching the craziness that exists in this mind of mine and learning how to, like, not to identify with it and see that my mind makes a better servant than a master. And so learning how to, like, not control my mind, but watch it and not, like, always believe everything it has to say. And then just sort of hopefully allowing wisdom to flow through me, because I think I've seen things come through me that I don't know where that came from. And it's not me, it's not Ari, it's something else.
Right,
and
you're listening.
And I think that's not particular to my experience. I think it's available to everyone to the point we allow it to manifest.
You're listening. Ari Nessel, we're going to have to close this show. My life is better because you are in it and you will help me to think. Next week, Lynn Twist, co-founder of the Pachamama Alliance, an organization that truly changed my life and planted seeds of change in me. See y'all next week. Thanks for being with us. Make it a great green week.